Well, just a reminder, there is a sermon outline inside the weekly newsletter, inside your bulletin, if you'd like to follow along with the sermon in that way. Well, there is an interesting place called the Thoroughfare Ranger Station. It is in the southwest corner of Yellowstone National Park, and it's no more than really a log cabin and a corral, maybe like this picture here. And to get to the station, Lloyd Court, who works as a ranger in the park, drives 15 miles from his house, and then saddles up on horseback. He then travels another 32 miles back into the wilderness. And that's the shortest route to get there. Well, why this place? What draws so many people to Thoroughfare Station year after year after year? Well, this is the place that is known as the most remote place in the United States. The nearest road is some 20 miles away. And we may not have visited Thoroughfare Ranger Station, or we may have never plotted it on a map or even heard of it, yet we've all been there. We've all traveled there. We all know its isolation. We know what it's like to feel cut off and alone. Loneliness takes many different forms, and loneliness is not always of our own making. Maybe it's the death of a spouse, the end of a relationship, the transitions in life. And yet there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Because you can be alone without being lonely. Because there are times we need to be alone, right? In our walk with Jesus, there are times that God works on us and challenges us and steps on our toes to grow us in those times of aloneness. Remember that verse, "Be still and know that I am God"? But how often do you feel alone? If you say you experience loneliness, in fact, everyone just did a little bit ago during the children's message, I asked you if you felt alone, and we all did. But if you're feeling alone today, right now, you are not alone. Cigna did a survey of some 20,000 adults in the United States and found that loneliness is on the epidemic scale. 61%, 3 out of 5 people, that's a large majority. Maybe these two sections here this morning feel alone. And it's happening more and more among younger generations. The study also found that there's a greater feeling of loneliness among people who use social media more frequently. We're the most connected generation in all of human history. And yet, we're the loneliness people to live today. And yet, as we look at the Bible, loneliness is the first thing that God says is not good. Remember that verse in Genesis, in the book of Genesis in the garden? God sees our need for relationships and belonging. And so today, this morning, we're wrestling with the struggle of technology and the not-so-social media. It's ironic that it's called social media, right? When it does everything but that. Yes, we're connecting, but are we really going deeper with people in relationship? One of the big impacts of social media is how it is isolating us, leading us to live lonely lives. Not only is it changing us, but it's changing how we relate with one another. Melissa Sporn, who is a child psychologist and has 2 teens of her own, describes loneliness as having kind of 2 hits against us as people. She describes it this way. She says, online activities hits us twice. Once as a distraction and or substitution for real social interaction. And then again, as a representation via social media of all the things that we aren't doing and should be engaged in, thus leaving us feeling lonely, or do you know what that means, the acronym FOMO? Fear of missing out is what that acronym stands for. We are online and alone. That's what the data is telling us. We're seeking after social media and technology, craving relationships, craving for something more, but it leaves us emptier at the end of the day and more lonely at the end of the day, because they're not relationships, they're pseudo-relationships, camouflage for the real thing, but without the mess. no long-term commitments, friendships done on your terms, not eyeball to eyeball, kneecap to kneecap relationships dealing with the messes of life. We're substituting cliques and connections with others rather than the real thing, flesh and blood, knee-to-knee relationships. And here's the thing. We long for and crave technology. You know what we get? We get a world that's all about me. If you play that out over time, we become isolated and alone. And so the outcome is increased isolation, where shields are up, the heads go down, and the hearts become numb. Because have you ever seen someone on a phone or an iPad or some piece of technology? They kind of change, don't they? They kind of get zoned out and just all about just whatever it is that they're looking at. We've all been there, and maybe, honestly, if we look in a mirror, how often is it us? That how many times do we check our phone in a day, let alone an hour? There was an interesting study done in the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships and said just the mere presence of a cell phone nearby can diminish the quality of that relationship between two people in conversation. Just having a phone sitting on the table or sitting next to you changes the dynamic of that conversation and that relationship. Think about that for a moment. And I'm sure you have felt it in talking with someone in your own sphere of influence, a person maybe that you know, that you love, that seems to always be checking their phone. Fast forward, we're having a harder time just with silence, being still and sitting still. Our attention spans have become shorter over time, and so we jump on our technology and into that technological world, kind of where it numbs us to the things of life, shields up, headphones on. We don't talk with others when we're like that. And yet, in Psalm 25, the psalmist is pressed in on all sides. He seeks to find a new direction in his relationship with the Lord. And this psalm is considered a psalm of lament. And what's fascinating about this, you wouldn't catch it just by hearing it just a little bit ago, but the structure of the psalm is what's known as an acrostic poem structure. And so it's one of nine acrostic psalms, where each letter of the Hebrew alphabet is used. It starts each verse. And I think it's done this way on a purpose, from A to Z, basically. It's used to show completeness. And so David is bringing his entire self through these words, his entire grief, his entire loneliness from A to Z before God and prayer. As he says in verse 16, I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. He says to God in prayer, turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Let's join together. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. So David's crying out to God that God would not only see him, but relate with him, to save him from the loneliness that he's facing, to feel the pain that he's walking through, the trouble that he's facing, to forgive him of his sins. The Hebrew word for a loneliness is yachid. Yachid in the Hebrew language, which means only one or solitary. The word picture behind this one, I think of yachid, is this picture here. Ever seen the movie Castaway? Where he's all alone on a deserted island. That's how David felt. That's how Yachid describes just this loneliness, being isolated, the only one left on the island. David didn't have the concept of technology, certainly like we do today, like iPhones and Twitter and you name it. But yet he certainly knows what it's like to feel loneliness, to feel alone. He certainly felt Yachid, like he was the only one left on the island, chased by Saul, remember? Before he became king, he's trying to stay alive at this point. And yet, through the Bible, God's people also know what it's like to feel loneliness. Some of the giants of the faith Jacob felt loneliness. So did Moses and Job, Nehemiah and Elijah and Jeremiah as well. And then David says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely, yahid, and afflicted." Jesus himself felt loneliness from the cross. Remember those lonely words? My God, why have you forsaken me?" As his own heavenly Father turns his back on his Son Jesus as he hangs on the cross with our sin upon his shoulders, lonely and abandoned and forsaken, as the hymn says, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, Jesus walks that lonely road for you and me and all creation. And that leads us to this point, the importance of being noticed and fully known. Because the sad truth is there are millions today, if not more, who feel alone and lonely, who need what is offered in this place and in this word that is life itself, grace, love, a place to belong, a community of believers, a family in Christ, brothers and sisters. Because at the end of the day, in a place where there's no perfect people allowed, none of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God, and praise be to God, it is his blood, his cross, that unifies us, that brings us together. It reminds me of a story told, and walk with me for a moment, true story. It was 3 weeks before Christmas. The year was around, it was 1993, when 43-year-old Wolfgang Dirk died while watching TV in his Berlin apartment. His rent continued to go on auto pay from his bank account as none of his neighbors seemed to notice that he was gone. 5 years pass. Eventually, his bank account ran out of funds. The landlord entered the apartment and found him sitting in his chair, just a skeleton, literally, of what he once was. There was a TV guide in his lap turned to this. This is how they knew it was from 1993. This particular edition, December 3rd. And he sat there through 5 Christmases, 5 Easters, 5 birthdays, and yet the world continued to just keep spinning. While it is incredibly sad, it doesn't have to be. Because we need to consider who is the Wolfgang on your street, in your neighborhood, in our church. Who is the Wolfgang in the third pew from the back in our work and school? And while it's tragic, it's an urgent call for mission for us to be the church, to not let this ever happen again. It's why we exist as a church, to be the body of Christ, to be salt and light to the world, because behind every door is someone who is loved by God. It's a challenge for us to be the hands and feet of Christ to a hurting world, as Jesus says himself in John 13. Let's go ahead and read this verse together. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." There's so many one another statements just scattered throughout Scripture, which just screams to us relationship, that God doesn't want us to do life alone. Because the answer to technology, the isolation we feel in this world today, is loving one another. It's so simple, but yet for whatever reason, it's so hard for us as people. Again, the walls go up, the headphones go on, the technology goes in our hands, and we just kind of zone out. So the question becomes, how do we love each other through our technology today? Well, something to consider. Conquering loneliness through embodying the abiding, life-giving presence of Jesus. That's how we conquer loneliness today. Being present with people in their lives. It's a paradigm shift. Because what if we looked at pain and loneliness as a gift from God? A tool that he uses to help us to appreciate all the things that he has blessed us with. And where God comes in to fill the void, the sorrow, the hurt, We combat loneliness by engaging with Jesus and the body, to be Jesus with skin on to others. And that leads us to the unfiltered challenge for this week, simply called the cookie mission. And so, as it says here, to, again, be Jesus with skin on and to bring some cookies to your neighbor. Do you know your neighbors? Here's an opportunity to learn their name, right? We just so easily and so quickly get in our cars, we go in and out of our garages without even waving or saying hi to our neighbors. And here's an opportunity to get to know maybe just one of them. Either bake some cookies or buy some cookies with love and bring them to a neighbor to get to know them. And all you need to do is go up to them with cookies and just give them to them. And you know what you need? Just do this. Just say hi and then walk away. Well, maybe not literally walk away. That might be kind of weird, but you know what I mean. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out conversation. You're given a mission to just bring some cookies, bring some bars, or whatever it might be, and just to be the hands and feet of Christ, to just bridge that gap of loneliness. Get to know someone's name. Get to know the people you are living right next to day after day after day. Because when you know you are loved by God, it changes everything, doesn't it? And this is an opportunity to share that love that God has shown you with someone else through a simple batch of cookies, right? How do we do this? The psalmist tells us in verse 5. Let's read this verse together. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Lead me. Teach me, for you I wait. Look at what David says to God in his loneliness. Lead me, teach me, for you I will wait. He is saying to God, you are the one in control of my life. I am not. Because at one point, all of us were alienated from God. You and I, all of us were separated, cut off, and alone, estranged. But God, in his mercy and grace, sends Jesus as the bridge, as that connecting piece between us and the Heavenly Father. Into your loneliness, God comes, and he doesn't just say a word. He gives you the word, Jesus himself. He's given us not only his word, but a name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. You are never alone. And it's upon this name that we are noticed. It is upon this name you are seen. It is on this name that you are fully known from head to toe. So it's time for us to come home, to hear those words that the writer of James says in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The world tells you to find yourself online, doesn't it? It says this is the place where you truly find out who you are and what to follow. The influencers that are there that try to influence you, right? They're called influencers for a reason. And yet God tells you that you are already found in Christ, in Jesus, in this place. Here on this picture here, we'll get here in a second. Here in this place, you are noticed. Here in this cross, you are seen. Here in this place, you are known. And in this house of the Lord, you are never alone. Father, we thank you for being present in our lives, knowing that in you, we are never alone, that we may have times of loneliness, but loneliness is cast aside through you so we can be still and know that you are God in the good and in the bad. As we abide in you, you abide with us every day, every moment, every breath. Thank you for that cross that breathes life into our broken places. Thank you for being the good and the gracious God that you are. Help us to kind of bridge this epidemic of loneliness so prevalent today, and to really live out this cookie mission. Get to know our neighbors. Get to know the people that we live with, that we do life together with. in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplaces, even here at church. Thank you, Father, for the gift of each other. In your name, we pray. Amen.